So we're going to talk about the best movie monologues ever. And maybe do some quotes from them, talk about them. What are some of your favorites? 312-981-7200. There's this article that was written about Duck Soup, which might contain the greatest monologue in movie history. And in the article, it's very interesting to talk about the preface, the big preface at the big finale of Duck Soup, that Rufus T. Firefly's big finale. And so it's a real great breakdown. This piece is a real great breakdown of that scene, and an argument for it being the greatest monologue in movie history. So it's a really funny article. It's really great. I'm not going to go into it in detail. It's written in first person. It's an opinion piece, but it's really great. And Dan, do we have that? Do we still have that piece?
Yep, on the Facebook
page. It's on the Facebook page. I would give it a read. I'm not going to read it. It's pretty lengthy, but it's really pretty cool. In detailing it. And it's up on our Facebook page right now if you want to give it a read. It's The Case for Duck Soup and the Greatest Monologue in Movie History. It's up on our Facebook page. Give it a read at facebook.com/NickDShow. Facebook.com/NickDShow. Like us, and then the article is there as well. But that gets us to thinking about some of the greatest monologues ever in movie history. And I would love to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. What are some of your favorite monologues ever? I have to say, I have a list here from, it's like the 50 greatest movie monologues of all time. And of course my choice is probably not on here. But one of my favorite monologues of all time is of course from my favorite movie of all time, which is Magnolia. And, Jason Robards, who plays a guy dying of cancer, who's on his deathbed in the film, has this extraordinarily long monologue. Which, and if I'm not mistaken, it's over 4 minutes long. Like, this is a really long monologue about regrets. It's this incredible monologue about regrets that he speaks about. He says from his hospital bed, or actually he's at home, but he's on his deathbed. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays his nurse, and he begins this monologue. And as the monologue goes on, Paul Thomas Anderson cuts to what's happening to the other characters as the voiceover of Jason Robards' monologue continues. He cuts to all the other characters to see what they're doing. And again, the movie is about, there's like 12 main characters in Magnolia, and their stories interweave throughout the entire 3-hour running time. So it's a very complicatedly structured movie with tons of major characters, all of whom have major problems and are mostly very, very sad and damaged people. And this monologue that Jason Robards delivers perfectly encompasses what the movie is about, what the movie, at its core is saying about living and life and regret. The movie is filled with characters doing things that they either have regretted in the past or will regret, and this whole 4-minute monologue totally encompasses it, and it's beautifully brought together as Paul Thomas Anderson shows all the other characters and how this monologue relates to every single situation and every character in the movie. It's one of the reasons why the movie is such a masterpiece, is he has a handle on all these situations and all these characters. And this monologue is one of my favorite monologues of all time, and it's really long. I'm not kidding when I say it's up at least 4 minutes long. So I think it ranks as one of the longest monologues ever as well. It's not just, but again, the way that Paul Thomas Anderson puts it together, it's not just a shot of Jason Robards in his bed giving this monologue flat. He encompasses every single situation, every single character intercut as the monologue goes on. It's brilliant. Of course, it didn't make any lists, every time I watch Magnolia, I'm just stunned by that writing. And Jason Robards, who is, was a magnificent actor, delivers it just flawlessly in the movie. So, and then the second one that pops up for me is listed here on I have the 50 greatest movie monologues of all time. It comes in at number 2 on this list as the second best monologue of all time. And that's Robert Shaw in Jaws. Robert Shaw's monologue about the USS Indianapolis is absolutely brilliant. And you know, there have been arguments over the years as to who actually wrote it. Did Shaw come in and improvise a lot of it? Did Robert, did Carl Gottlieb actually write it? Did they have a different writer come in and do it? Some people said John Milius, the filmmaker who made Conan the Barbarian and co-wrote you know, Apocalypse Now and all these other stuff. I should say, how could I leave off Red Dawn? He wrote and directed Red Dawn. Some people say John Milius wrote it, and there's never been a true confirmation as to who actually wrote it, but Robert Shaw delivered it. And Robert Shaw, if you watch Jaws, this monologue about the USS Indianapolis and the survivors of it who were taken out one by one by sharks is one of the greatest monologues ever delivered. And I've told this story before on the air. If you watch Jaws, keep in mind Robert Shaw was incredibly drunk when he delivered that monologue. Robert Shaw was an alcoholic, and you know, he was very surly on the set of Jaws. He hated Richard Dreyfuss. He treated him very poorly. He drank like a fish. And when he was supposed to come in and do the monologue, they had to almost carry him onto the set. He was so loaded. He was completely blitzed. So Spielberg sets up three cameras so he can get this. You know, they just want him to do it. And he's bombed. He can't talk. He can barely speak. They're finally going to call it a day. And they ask for one more take from him. And he delivers it. And that's the take they use in the movie. He could barely, you know, he was so drunk that he finished this monologue, they get it in the can, he delivers it astonishingly well. Roy Scheider and Richard Dreyfuss sitting in the scene with him are reacting as you can react, as this incredibly drunk actor who is delivering this remarkable monologue in the state that he was in. He finishes the monologue, he finishes it, they call cut, passes out on the table. Head hits the table, passes out. And that's the cut they use in the movie. So not only is it like a really brilliantly written monologue that adds so much to the mood of what's happening in Jaws at that time, but the fact that it actually got filmed is astonishing. And the fact that, you know, they got that out of Robert Shaw, who was so hammered, it makes it even more remarkable. So that is one of my favorite monologues of all time. All right, we're going to talk more monologues coming up. What are your favorite monologues of all time, best movie monologues? We'll quote from some of them, and maybe that you tell some stories behind how those monologues got made. And I forgot to do something here, Dan. I forgot to read this thing.
That's all right. We can do it next
time. I'll do it next time. Okay. Sorry about that. I got all distracted because I found out that Grant Hart passed away, so I got a little distracted. Okay, we got a break. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, Thursday, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. That's Kings of Leon, 630 area code requested that. That's Closer. I saw Kings of Leon open up for the U2. They were quite good. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, and we're here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich will take over with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. All right. I was distracted a little bit because the Channel 9 is covering the story that, you know, that Vic has been reporting on too, the reaction to this death at the Crowne Plaza Hotel in Rosemont. A girl was found in a walk-in freezer there. That's where we do Flashback Weekend every year. It's just so weird. I'm looking at the people protesting outside. It's just strange because, you know, I spend 4 days there every year as part of the Flashback Weekend. It's a really great place and a great hotel. It's just so weird to see all this stuff happening. Strange. I was a little distracted because I was seeing footage of people protesting outside the Crowne Plaza, which is a home for 4 days in a row for me every summer. So just a little weird. All right, we're back and we're talking about movie monologues. What are the greatest movie monologues of all time? I was talking about Robert Shaw's monologue in Jaws, the USS Indianapolis being one of my favorites of all time, and the fact that it was delivered by a person who was 9 sheets to the wind and passed out immediately after finishing the take. Most people would say that the best movie monologue of all time is Charlie Chaplin and The Great Dictator. And Charlie Chaplin's most infamous film is a talkie, and boy, did he talk in it. His speech at the end of the film is a rousing, heartfelt, look up, Hannah, look up. These words have been incredibly lame if they weren't delivered so genuinely with the right amount of passion. One of the key moments from the monologue is, our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much, feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. That's from The Great Dictator, which is widely considered one of the greatest monologues of all time, from Charlie Chaplin. And let's see. 262 area code echoes that. It says Charlie Chaplin's monologue in The Great Dictator. 309 area code says, in the top five greatest monologues of all time, it's got to be Robert Shaw and Jaws. Peter in Decatur and Alan in North Carolina said the scene in Network in the boardroom with Ned Beatty's character lecturing Peter Finch's character. One of the greatest scenes ever, one of my favorite monologues of all time. And it is, if you've never seen Network, oh, it's so good. It's so good. Dan, have you seen Network?
Very long time ago.
Ned Beatty is only in one scene. He's in one scene. And he delivers this monologue, and it's extraordinary. I'm as mad as hell. Peter Finch moment may have won the Oscar, but in this scene, that is a true showstopper in Sidney Lumet's movie. Screenwriter Pat Chayefsky was about 8 billion years ahead of his time. And one of the key lines is, "You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I will not have it." He plays a big-time executive at a network and calls Peter Finch's character into this really long, crazy boardroom. It's just the two of them in the room. And Ned Beatty delivers this very threatening, like beautifully, incredibly poetically written monologue in this dark, scary, big conference room. And Peter Finch just kind of sits there and takes it. It's amazing, and it comes in at number five on the list of the best monologues of all time. 708 area code says the ending of First Blood. I totally agree. The monologue that Stallone has at the end is absolutely heartbreaking and amazing. That is my favorite. That's my favorite Sylvester Stallone movie and my favorite Sylvester Stallone performance. And most people are like, you know, you mentioned First Blood, everybody thinks, oh, Rambo, right? He's crazy, blows stuff up, you know, kills 9,000 people and, you know, destroys all kinds of things. That's not what First Blood was about. First Blood was like a really good movie, with a wonderful script, lots of insight, real good acting, and, you know, and had good action in it, too. But it was not like once they started making once Rambo came out, it was all out the window at that point. You know, and the scene in Rambo that I always remember is when he basically blows up all of Vietnam from a helicopter. Like, he just blows all of Vietnam up and kills like 800 people. And it's absurd and crazy. And then in Rambo 3, he kills everybody on Earth and everybody in Afghanistan dies. He kills them all. And then the one that he made in 2008, one of the bloodiest, craziest movies I've ever seen in my life. And that's very far removed from what First Blood really is. First Blood is a serious movie, you know, about underappreciated, you know, guys, you know, who came back from Vietnam and didn't know where they were in the world and didn't fit in, dealing with oppression and bigotry. And that final monologue that Stallone has is heartbreaking. It's beautiful. You know, do you guys know in the original First Blood, he kills himself? And the at the end of the movie, have you guys seen First Blood? Dan, you've seen it?
I have not.
Esmeralda, have you seen First Blood?
Haven't.
It's a really great movie. Don't let the Rambo thing turn you off. You know what I mean? And I can understand. I think the second Rambo is fantastic, but on a completely ridiculous way. You know, I mean, I enjoy watching Rambo because it's so absurd and so ridiculous. It's a lot of fun. First Blood's like a real movie, like a real character study and a great one. But at the end of the movie, in the original script, and they actually shot this, he kills himself. John Rambo kills himself. But the studio was like, no, we can't do that. You can't kill this character off because, you know, this, you know, Stallone, he makes sequels. So this could take off and we could make a sequel. So the director is a guy named Ted Kotcheff. He directed he directed First Blood. He fought against it. He didn't want to do it, but they shot it. And about 10 years ago, my buddy Mike and my ex-wife Heather and I went to a special showing. It was going to be one night only in the movie theaters as part of Fathom Events. And they were going to show First Blood with an introduction by Stallone, and then they were going to show the original ending where he kills himself. So we all went, and they showed the original ending, and I was like, oh, my God. It was devastating. Heather was crying her eyes out. So it would have ended on an even more powerful note had they been allowed to, you know, cut in the original ending that they wanted, where he ends up dying. But then again, there wouldn't be three more Rambo movies if that was the case. So anyway, that ending of First Blood, that monologue, I totally agree. Beautiful stuff. Great, great movie. Really, really, really underrated film, I think. Okay, we got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic. And let's talk about more movie monologues. What are some of your favorites? 312-981-7200. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Triple play Thursday. Yeah! 630 area code requesting Kings of Leon, and that is Sex on Fire. All right. We are talking about movie monologues. We got a bunch of texts that have come in, people sharing their favorite movie monologues of all time, and we've been talking about some of the great ones, like Charlie Chaplin, The Great Dictator. I was talking about Jason Robards in Magnolia, Robert Shaw in Jaws. Ned Beatty and Network. There are so many more, and we would love to hear from you. The ending of First Blood. We were just talking about Stallone's heartbreaking monologue at the end of First Blood. Also a great one. Dan, do you have any that pop out? There's one that I think, if I'm asking you your favorite monologue. Oh, no, there's two. There's two that would pop up for me in your mind, I would predict. Let me see if I'm correct. See if I got them.
Well, the answer is Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Get busy living, get busy dying.
You're right.
Is the first one that comes to mind. The other one that comes to mind for me is the Rutger Hauer monologue from Blade Runner.
Oh my God.
We received a few texts on that.
Oh.
And, obviously, it's just beautiful in and of itself. But considering the context of the movie and the questions about Deckard and all that stuff. Yeah,
you know, I the other one that I thought, because I knew Shawshank would be your choice. I thought Grapes of Wrath. I thought Henry Fonda's Grapes of Wrath
monologue.
That's
always a good one,
which is one of the best ever. Would be in there, but yeah, Blade Runner. Oh man, Rutger. You know Rutger Hauer wrote that.
I did.
Yeah. You know, he delivered it, and people were like, because they didn't know what he was going to say. So Ridley Scott runs the camera, and Harrison Ford. If you look at Harrison Ford's reaction to it. Because he'd never heard it before. Rutger Hauer wrote it, came out, and delivered it. And that's one of the best monologues, one of my favorite monologues of all time. One of my favorite monologues of all time is at the end of Blade Runner. Esmeralda, any monologues pop out in your head?
I don't know if this would be a monologue in Trainspotting, because you don't really see him.
No, yeah, absolutely. You're talking about the first part of the movie, the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, and then, you know, there's the end, too, where he does
right.
a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That's absolutely, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Did you see T2, Esmeralda? Did you get
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, God, it's so good.
It kind of disappeared.
I kind of
forgot about it.
Nobody went to see it. It's a damn shame. Nobody went to see Trainspotting 2. And it was really, really good. Esmeralda, you're going to love it. It's so true to the spirit of that first movie. You know, and everybody's back. That's the other great thing about it.
Yeah, no, I haven't. It disappeared, and then I saw it somewhere, and I went, oh, yeah, they made a second one.
Yeah, I think it might be available. Dan, can you see if it's available on your downloading onlines things or the DVDs? Because you really have to see it, Esmeralda. You really do. Because, you're really – I know how much you love Trainspotting. You'll be very happy with the sequel. But yeah, that's great. The monologue in Trainspotting, the monologues in Trainspotting. Also
watched on Amazon and iTunes right now.
Oh, Amazon Prime, do you know?
I would think so, right?
Well, no, they rent the movies now.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I think it's just a rent option, unfortunately.
Okay.
And real quickly, before we break, Mike Jacobson, morning show producer, submits Robin Williams' monologue from Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting is actually on this list of one of the greatest monologues. There's a lot of improvisation in that, too, by the way. It's really crazy how many of these monologues that we've been talking about and we'll talk about actually were partially or almost improvised entirely. And there's a lot of Robin Williams improvised a lot in that monologue in Good Will Hunting. And yeah, and that's a great one. Thank you, Mike. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We got the news and then more movie monologue. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And we're talking about movie monologues. What are your favorites? What are the most memorable? 312-981-7200, talk and text. Triple Plate Thursday, yeah, is 630, requested Kings of Leon and Molly Chambers. So, and we'll get back to talking about movie monologues now. And let's talk with Skip. How you doing, Skip?
Oh, good morning. How are you, Nick?
All right.
I just have to say, Dennis Hopper in True Romance. I know you can't really play it on the radio.
No, you can't.
Man. Oh, but it's great.
It is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Okay. And it's you know, just that scene, just the two of them, him and Walken, that's just top-notch stuff right there. Yeah.
Two of the greatest weird actors of all time.
Of all time, yeah. It's a great monologue, yes. Too. Great stuff. Thank you, Skip.
Oh, no problem.
Have a good buddy. Have a good one. Okay. You know, that brings up Quentin Tarantino, who's written many, many great monologues. You know, there could be a whole subcategory just dedicated to Quentin Tarantino monologues. There's great stuff in Reservoir Dogs. You know, you mentioned True Romance with Dennis Hopper delivering the monologue. There are two or three amazing monologues in Pulp Fiction. The first one that pops into my head, the one that everybody really knows and talks about, is Samuel Jackson, you know, delivering the Bible quote before killing everybody. The other one in Pulp Fiction is the entire Watch monologue that Christopher Walken delivers. That is one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is Christopher Walken delivering that Watch monologue. Dan, how about it, man? He kept this uncomfortable hunk of metal
for a very long time.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, lots of great stuff. Tarantino has written some great monologues. He certainly has. Let's see. 708 area code. Of course, James Earl Jones's People Will Come, Ray, speech in Field of Dreams. Come on, man. Come on. I mean, that's just one of the best. Now, were you reciting that monologue a couple of weeks ago, Dan?
You do kind of hear it when you're walking on the field.
People will come, Ray. People will most certainly come.
A little bit later, there's actually another great monologue that I had forgotten about that one of our texters mentioned from that movie. That's also very stellar.
So, oh, okay.
So stay tuned, everybody.
312-981-720. Here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how's it going? I just want to say the very beginning of Patton is one of my favorite things in any movie.
I agree, and it's on this list of the 50 greatest movie monologues. It comes in at number 3.
Oh, huh, cool. Yeah, okay, Thank you.
It is great. Thank you, Jim. That's a hell of a way to open a movie. Really is, man. That's just one dude standing there delivering a very long, intense monologue. I'm not mistaken, Francis Ford Coppola wrote that one. He also likes – Francis Ford Coppola enjoys opening movies with monologues because The Godfather opens up with one of the greatest monologues ever at the wedding. And why am I blanking on the character's name? How can I blank on the character's name? I can't remember the guy who – who. Hold on a second. Go ahead.
His dad?
No.
what's his –
It's the guy who the monologue is.
I'm the worst person.
The guy in The Godfather. It's the guy who comes in to ask a favor of the Godfather for his daughter.
Oh, I couldn't.
And it's
right.
That whole monologue about I love America. That the whole thing. It's fantastic. And I can't believe I can't remember. There are guys right now screaming at the radio, going, "Turn in your man card." But.
Bonacera.
Yeah. His monologue is about – he's asking the Godfather. It's just one long take. The camera pulls in and it pulls back, and it's him asking. He's got the mustache, and he wants revenge on what happened to his daughter. It's a great monologue. Let's see. 765 area code. Khan, after Chekhov and Captain Tyrell find him at City Alpha 5 in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. 847 area code and Brian say Edward Norton in 25th Hour. Oh my God, is that a great monologue? Do you remember that monologue, Esmeralda, where he's in front of the mirror in the bar?
Vaguely.
Oh, it's the best. It's one of my favorites of all time, and it's so powerful, and it's so well delivered. Somebody wrote an expletive on the mirror in the bar. It's like, it's F you, and somebody writes it. It's somebody had written it on the mirror, and he just does this monologue about everything that he hates in New York and the city. He hates the city at this point. He's screaming about the city and the way it's delivered and with the fury in which he delivers it and the beautiful Terrence Blanchard score underneath and the fact that the movie was released about a year after 9/11, and that's what the movie's about. Beautiful. And then they do a callback to that monologue at the very end of the movie. It's great. It's such a great movie. I just watched it. I watched it right before. I watch it every year right before 9/11. See, 312 area code says Christopher Walken in True Romance when he's interrogating Dennis Hopper is unbelievable. 815 area code. Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Also a great monologue when he says, deep down in places you don't like to talk about, you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. Great monologue. You can't handle the truth. Um, 708 area code says, Nick, you already know this, but magnolias have up to 12 petals. Such a simple title for such a complex and beautiful movie. Oh, we got somebody who likes magnolia out there. 12
Just
petals.
The one?
Just
what
the ones, me and one other, 12 petals representing the 12 main characters in the movie. Jeff in Footville says, always love the ending of The Breakfast Club. Oh, the little note that Anthony Michael Hall leaves. That's pretty cool. Tim, one monologue I will always back up, playing several times over and over, continuing the film, is Matt Damon's rant about the process of experience life. The process of experience is life of no value in Good Will Hunting. I heard Ben and Matt fought hard to keep that speech in the movie, and I'm glad they did. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. 773 area code. A good monologue was the scene in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner when Spencer Tracy delivered a speech about love. It was heartfelt and honest and sort of a tribute to his relationship with Kate Hepburn. 630 area code. Bill Pullman in Independence Day, followed by LOL. 262 area code in the Incredibles. You caught me monologuing. That's fantastic. I totally forgot about that. That movie rules. They're doing a second one. They're doing a second Incredibles. I love that movie. Have you seen The Incredibles?
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
I'm amazed that it hasn't come out already.
Yeah, it takes a while for the. I know, but since then they've released two damn Cars movies.
They released like a. I think it was a straight-to-video about the baby, didn't they? Or it was a short movie or something?
I think it was a short, if I'm not mistaken. You know what was amazing about that movie? So many things are about The Incredibles are great. But the character that Holly Hunter voices talks like Holly Hunter and has the side of the mouth thing. Like they actually, you know how Holly Hunter talks out of the side of her mouth a lot?
Yeah.
She's got that weird sort of like wonderful, beautiful accent. They animated her mouth to do that. And I remember the first time I saw The Incredibles, I'm like, man, that's awesome that they actually animated Holly Hunter's mouth habit onto that thing. By the way, it's available on YouTube, but Sarah Paulson was on Fallon last week. And I saw the clip online. Where they played this game called Wheel of Impressions, where they hit a button and a wheel pops up, and this thing comes up, and you get someone's name that you have to do an impression of and a subject that they're talking about. So Sarah Paulson got, her first one she got was Kathleen Turner talking about slip and slides. And she first asked Fallon, is Kathleen Turner now or what she sounded like 20 years ago? Because she sounds completely different now.
Yeah.
And he's like, now. She nails it. Nails it, completely nails it, hilarious. Her second one was Holly Hunter talking about gas stations. She did the best Holly Hunter. She did the mouth thing, the whole, she was unbelievable. If you get a chance to see it,
yeah,
watch it. And then the third one that she did was Drew Barrymore. And her Drew Barrymore was great too. But her Holly Hunter was just, it was magnificent. So you should check that out. It's very, very funny. And then Fallon did Pacino.
No one cares.
Young Pacino talking to old Pacino. And then he did the lead singer of who's the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine? Zach is it
Zach De La Rocha?
That guy. He did him. Well, that wasn't funny. His young Al Pacino was good. His old Al Pacino was bad.
Well, because it's just yelling, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anybody can. No. Some people can do a good old Pacino.
Yeah. A lot of hoo-ha's in
you
there.
Do a lot of hoo-ha's and you get a hoo-ah. You can do that other thing. So.
Oh, do those.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny. You're funny.
It's just a lot of growling.
Why don't you get a stick of gum? I'll show you how to chew it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, speaking of monologues from that movie that I just quoted from, everybody, and also on the list, Alec Baldwin at the beginning of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please. How often in office buildings around the country do people say, hey, put that coffee down. Coffee is for closers.
Oh, gosh, probably too much.
That's not, by the way, that's not in the play. That was written for the movie.
Yeah.
Not in the play. And as a person who thinks that Glengarry Glen Ross is perhaps the greatest American play ever written, I don't think it needs to be there. But I'm just saying that. And I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's a great part of the movie. Alec Baldwin delivers it great. It's quotable. It's awesome. Mm. Fantastic. I don't think it needs to be there. That's just me. That's just me because I think the play is perfect.
Gilding the Lily.
When I saw the movie, I was like, what's this? What is happening here? Because I know I basically know the play by heart, and I'm going, what are we doing? What is happening? But it's great. It doesn't matter. But I'm just like kind of, why mess with perfection? You got it right the first time, David. Even though it's a great monologue, and I love it. Okay, let's get to the forecast and all that stuff, and to the weather and the traffic. Well, since we didn't have time for another triple play, we get a forfer. A forfer from Kings of Leon. So there you go. 312-591-3. I'm going back in time now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about great movie monologues, best movie monologues of all time, and your favorites. Here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, buddy.
Good, good. You already covered Independence Day, but the another great presidential monologue would be American President Michael Douglas
at the end of that movie, man.
The end of the movie.
Oh, it's so good. Another Aaron Sorkin monologue. It's great, beautifully delivered. It's one of those monologues that you wish a real president would say.
How about it?
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Hey,
that's a good movie. Have you seen American President?
I haven't.
It's really good. Really good. Annette Bening, Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah, and she's dating him.
Yeah. It's a sweet movie and a great romantic movie, really smart, really funny. Aaron Sorkin wrote it, so, you know.
Is Aaron Sorkin the same guy who did the news show, Newsroom?
Newsroom. He did the Newsroom. He did Sports Night.
I enjoyed that monologue.
The Jeff Daniels monologue?
That's the only monologue I liked from that whole show.
That show went downhill, but that monologue about how we don't live in the greatest country in the world. My friend, by the way, David Cromer, plays the moderator on stage
really?
With him. He's my buddy. He was a director here in Chicago for many years. He moved to New York. He's a director now on Broadway, and he acts. David Cromer, he's a wonderful guy. And he's the guy who's the moderator.
Yeah.
Sitting next to Jeff Daniels as he has his meltdown.
Yeah, it's the only part of that show I liked.
It went downhill pretty quick.
He
also wrote, Aaron Sorkin has been around for a long time. He wrote Social Network, which is one of the best.
Yeah.
He won the Oscar for that.
I enjoyed that.
And speaking of Alec Baldwin monologues, we were talking about the great monologue from Glengarry. Have you ever seen the movie Malice?
Oh, no.
It's with him and Nicole Kidman.
I remember it's about, he's a doctor, surgeon.
Yeah. It's a great movie. It's a really twisted, great movie. Mm-hmm. Aaron Sorkin co-wrote that movie. Mm-hmm. And Alec Baldwin's got a monologue in that movie where everybody accuses him of having a God complex. Mm-hmm. And he gives this whole monologue, really beautiful, delivered in that, staccato Alec Baldwin, deep voiced way. And the last line is, "You think I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God."
Oh, boy.
And Aaron Sorkin wrote the monologue, "You Can't Handle the Truth." He wrote that too.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, very quotable stuff, Aaron Sorkin. Tom says the monologue from Field of Dreams with Amy Madigan about book banning. Oh, yeah, that's what you were talking about, Dan.
Yeah, about it.
That's a great moment, man. That's such a good movie. Amy Madigan. You know, she's married to, in real life, she's married to Ed Harris, who terrorizes Jennifer Lawrence, and I'll see it all on Saturday. I can't wait for that. I'm so excited about Mother, I'm going to lose my mind. People have been traumatized by it.
Great.
let's see. 859 area code says, LAPD's Lieutenant Ed Exley's monologue at the end of L.A. Confidential, where he tells the story in a nutshell, and they need another hero besides Captain Dudley. That was a good movie, L.A. Confidential. 630 area code, the monologue in Remember the Titans that Denzel gives at the graveyard. John in Lake Zurich says, John Belushi in Animal House, yes. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no! And then they cut back to Otter and Boone. And Germans, no, forget it, man, he's rolling. Bill Murray in Caddyshack, Gunga, Gunga, Galunga. Oh, yeah, the Dalai Lama story. Yeah, the Dalai Lama story. Bill Murray's got a bunch of them. He's got the whole, oh, it's in the hole, the Cinderella Kid. That was all improvised. See, Patrick says, I'm thinking of Ben's monologue about Beekman's diner in Night of the Living Dead. Mel Gibson's monologue in Braveheart. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive, Check Every House monologue. Fugitive. How about Michael Douglas in Wall Street, Greed is Good? That's a pretty classic one. They've got on this list here, they have Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver, which was all improvised, like that whole you talking to me thing. Well, let's just put the camera on and let him go.
Would that be it or the beginning?
Well,
doesn't he do like a whole thing?
He does. I mean, there's voiceover throughout the entire movie.
Right.
I mean, he does voiceover throughout the entire movie, but they're referring to the you talking to me.
Oh, okay.
So, which I don't necessarily agree with as, right. You know.
What constitutes a monologue?
One person speaking for a long time, I guess. just one. It's weird because they mention, you know, there are scenes in here where there's a dialogue happening, but they take a long time. Like, for instance, the Dennis Hopper scene in True Romance. They have a dialogue throughout that entire scene until he gives his monologue, which, you know, that constitutes a monologue. I've written a few in my day. I did an adaptation of High Fidelity. There's like 9,000 monologues in that.
It's just monologue after monologue.
Seriously, because we used the device that they use in the movie and in the book, where we had him speaking to Mike speaking directly to the audience several times. And one of my favorite monologues that I've ever written is in that, and it's a monologue about how. So I think personally, I will never write anything better than this, and I love it. It's the most proud of I am of a monologue that I've ever written. And the basis of the monologue is about how when you break up with someone or someone breaks up with you, you immediately lose the relationships that you had with their friends and family. Like, it's about, like, because every time I've broken up with somebody, I've gotten along with their family and I've gotten along with their friends and I never see them again. So it's about losing, not just losing the person that you're with, but losing a bunch of relationships that you valued and that you really liked. And family members that you got to know. And the monologue is about how, you know, the main character knows where, you know, his girlfriend's mother sneaks the cigarettes. He's driven their car. They've spent holidays together. And it's about that. It's about losing all of that stuff in addition to the person you're dating. Mm-hmm. The only good thing I've ever written.
Jeez.
Well, no, it's not true. But it's my favorite thing that I've ever written. All right, we got a break here, and Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow. Fly Jams Friday.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
And Herb Weisbaum is going to tell us how to be safe out there. Well, big stories about to talk about with Herb tomorrow for this week about consumer safety, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah,
see you tomorrow. All right, news is next.